Let's begin. We're up to Divrei Hayamim, Perek Zayin. We are up to Bnei Osher, Pasuk Lamed. Okay, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Lamed. Okay, I don't have any big chidushim for you. I just will go through the basic names. If you have the handout, it should be very easy. You have an extra one? Okay, give it to me, Ruchol. Okay, so Pasuk Lamed. Bnei Osher Yimna, you see Osher, it's on the right. So yesterday we went through the descents of Ephraim. The purpose of going through the descents of Ephraim yesterday was to come to Yehoshua ben Nun. Okay, that we concluded with yesterday. And then we discussed their region, the boundaries where they lived in Eretz Yisrael next to Menashe. Now we come to Osher Yimna, the Yishva, the Yishvi, Uveriyah, the Serach Achoson. Okay, the sister was Serach. I actually know someone today by the name of Serach. People use that name. It's spelled differently. In the Torah, it's spelled with a Sama, one place with a Samach, and one place with a Sin. I'm curious how that person... What? I'm curious how that person spells their name today. I don't know what they do. Anyone know how people spell the names? People have the name Serach. It is a name. It's used today. Okay, whatever it is. Here, Divrei Hayam, it's spelled with a sin. And you see this on the chart, Osher, you see Osher's five children, Yimna, Yishva, Yishva, Griya, and Serach, Achoysam. Okay, next.
Pasuk. I think there are any name changes here.
There are?
I think there are.
There are not. Unusual. Yeah. Unusual for it to be consistent with what it says in the Torah. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Vnei Viriyah. Now we focus on the fourth child. Most of the time when we have a list of children, Ezra lists the first. And he forgets about the remaining children. In this case, just the opposite. He's going to focus on the fourth child before the sister of Nevriah, Chever Umalkiel. Those are mentioned in the Torah. Chever Umalkiel. Hu Avi Vir Zoyis. And who was, he was the founder, Malkiel. Malkiel was the founder of, Avi means in this case the mayor, the governor, the chief, the leader of this city called Vir Zoyis. Now what is Vir Zoyis? Vir Zoyis comes from the word Zayis. Okay, it comes from the word Zayis Aleph. Now we know this in the Torah, the bracha that Yaakov Avinu gave Osher, may Osher Shneino Lachmo, for who yitain Madane, what's the Melech? The delicacy. So Shneino Lachmo, his bread will be fat. Which doesn't necessarily mean lechem, doesn't mean only bread, it means his the product of the earth. Shmeina is fatness, and this refers to there'll be an abundance of olives, oil that will come from the land of Osher. And in fact, that's what this word, Vir Zoyis, Zoyis comes from the word Zayis. Let me read you a medrash in Bereishis Rabbah. You do not have this in front of you, but the medrash there says, Omar Rabbi Levi, Rabbi Simoin, Rabbi Levi Amar Shai Binosem Noim Voyunisuos Lakoihanim Shinim Shuchu Beshemin Hamishcha Shebeshemin Zayis. According to Rabbi Levi, the daughters of Osher were beautiful and they were married to the Shevet Levi. There was an intermarriage at some point in time later in history when intermarriage was permitted between the Shvatim, and it was very common for the daughters of Osher to marry the family of the Kohanim, even the Kohanim Gedolim. That's what it says. And why? So when it says Zayis, Zayis does not refer to Osher, it refers to Shevet Levi, who was Nimshach B'Shemen HaMishch, anointed with a special anointing oil, and that's what it means here. However, Rabbi Simon Omer, he disagrees. They themselves, the word Zayis refers to Shevet Osher itself, Shehoyu Nisuos, the Molochim Shnimshchu B'Shemen Zayis. They were married to kings. I'm sorry, not that's a different interpretation. They were married to kings, that the kings were anointed with Shemen Zayis. So both the Kohanim Gedolim were anointed. Really, it was Aaron. Starting at the very beginning, it was not necessary to anoint every Kohen Gadol. And the kings were anointed. It was also not necessary unless there was a Machlokes. But the question is, who did the daughters of Osher marry? Did they marry the daughters of the Kohanim, or did they marry the daughters of Shevet Yehud of the kings? And it could very well be Elu the Elu Divil Kim Chaim. And that's what it means over here. Malkiel also comes from the word Melech. Malkiel Melech, and we the Aviv, their Zoyis, they were the this person was the founder of this city called Rezoyis, which Lashon of Zayis, beautiful people who married Kohanim and kings. Okay, let's now go to Pasuk Lamed Beis. We'll come back and discuss some other things a little bit later. Pasuk Lamed Beis, going back to our chart, we have now Asher. Asher had a son, Beria. Beria had a son, Chever. Chever now has four children. The Chever hoilid es Yaflet, the Eshoimer, the Eschoisam, the Eshua, Achoisam, Shua, their sister. We have here four children, three boys and one girl. Okay, Pasik Lamed Gim, Luvne Yaflet. Who are the children of Yaflet? Three children. Posach, Uvimhol. Nice name, Vimhol. The Ashvas. These are Eile B'nei Yaflet. These are the children of Yaflet. Pasik Lamed Dalet. Uvnei Shomer. Who is Shomer? Shomer is the same as Shomer. Okay, we have that area offing the names a little bit off. So we have number one is Achi. That's a name of a person. Does not mean brother. Achi is a proper noun. That's his name. Achi. Next is a hard one is Roga. It's a Kivach Siv Roga. And Vichuba. The Chuba, not Yechuba, but Vechuba. The Yud is not either the Vav is part of the name itself, or it's a prefix. Va'aram and Aram, so grand total of four children, as you see on the chart. Shomer had four children. Pasuk Lamed Hey, Uven Halem. Now, who is Halem? We don't have any Halem here listed. What is going on? So either this can be typical of what we've learned many times in Divrei Hayom, we have names in the middle of nowhere, and we don't have a link, taking a name, putting it back to a certain person, as we've said so many times, Ezra just compiled, took from a list that he had available to him, and not every single node on the list can be connected to a tree. We don't exactly know where they connect. However, many Mefarshim here say that Halem is the same as Chosam. Because Hela means to apply. That's what it means. Hela means to apply Chol. When you apply a signet, you are Holem Chosam. It's an expression. I'm not familiar with the expression, but Holem Chosam, the two seem to go together. Those that are very knowledgeable in language, these two words go together, and together they mean you take the signet ring and you apply it, you stamp it on a document. So, according to many, Halem is the same as Chosam. Who is he? He is Achiv. He is the brother of who? He is Achiv, the brother of Shomer. Okay, Chosam is the last of the brothers, because Shua was a sister, was a woman. So here we're calling Halem, the brother of Shomer. Who were his children? We have four children in this list. Tzofeach, Vyimna, and Vishelesh, Vomal. As you see in the chart, four children of Chosam. Pasuk Lamed Vav, B'nei Tzofeach. Who are the children of Tzofeach? Here we call them Tzofeach, before we call them Tzofeach. Tzofach, I'm sorry, I said Tzofeach, there's no patach. Tzofach. So I made a mistake in my chart, I will put it in the kudus. It's Tzofach, not Tzofeach, but here it's Tzofach. Who are, we have a long list of children. Suach, Vichar, Nefer, Vishual, Uveri, Vimra, Betzer, Vahod, Vishama, Vishulsha, Vyisra, Vyisran, Uveira. Those are the children listed there, the children of Tzofeach, as you see on the chart. Lamed Ches Uvnei Yeser. Who now Yeser is the same as Yisron. Okay, there's just in Pasuk Lamed Zayin is Yisron. Now we're focusing on Yeser. It's the same person. They are Yifune and Ufispa, Va'ara and Ara, three children. And now we have Lamed Tes. Here we have a person. We have no idea who this person is, and now he connects to the chart. Uvnei Ula. The children of Ula were Orach, Vachaniel, Viritzia. Okay, we have no idea who that person is. He's possibly one of the children of Tzofach. Tzofach. And he's known by a second name, but we do not know. This has been lost from us. And somehow he connects to this list. So we really have over here, I think on this hand, I really try, pretty much makes it clear of all of the descendants, how many generations. You count of Asher 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We go down 6 generations. 6 generations from Asher, at least that's what's listed over here. Kol Eile, Pasuk Mem, all of these. Vinei Asher, and we have some a very beautiful pasuk. Very beautiful pasuk describing their role in war. Rashi Veisavos, these were the heads of the families. Biruim, each one was chosen, like we say in Davni by the Malachim, Kulam Ahuvim, Kulam Birurim, Kulam Gibarim, Kulam Osim Yemo, Ritzoyim Kainam. Birurim, each one was selected, each one was unique, choice. Everyone had a special value. Gibore Chayolim, warriors of valor. Roshe Hanesiim, heads of princes, Hanesiim, the His Yach Son, and each one can trace their lineage back to their forefathers, to their ancestors, Batsava Bamilchama, in war, in their hosts of war. We mentioned many times that Tsava doesn't necessarily mean, we translate today meaning a battalion of war, but Tsava just means an orderly group of people, and here it was Bamilchama, in war. Misparam Anoshim, the number of men, if we count all of the descendants when this was written, seemingly the time of Ezra when he put this together, it's not clear if he's referring to the time of the writing, when he wrote this save, when he wrote the Divrei Hayamim, which would be during the time of the Bayis Sheni, or more likely he's referring to the time of David HaMelech, the time when this list was when it was written in a list that it had available to him, which was ancient. It went back to the time of David HaMelech. It says, Eshrim v'shisha olef, 26,000. Now this Pasuk Mem, let's first see what it says in the Mitzvah Pasuk Mem. Okay, Bidurim, in the Tzudos David, Birurim Nivcharim, Mikol B'nei HaShevet, each one of the people, each one of the 26,000 that we're going to mention, can you imagine 26,000, everyone is unique. Is Birurim, Mikol B'nei HaShevet, Rosh HaNesiim, Heim Hayu L'Roshim Al Nisiyei HaShevet, they were the leaders over the Nisiyei, the Nisiyei HaShevet literally means the princes of the Shevet, so there were many princes. They were the leaders over the princes, which means that there must have been many people below them, beneath them, which means that numbers must have been very, very high. If you have 26,000 leaders, every leader probably had at least a minion, right? At least 10 people, I would assume. So dealing with a very, very large number, these were the leaders over the princes. Then the Hisyach Sam, next words in the Mitzvot, Hayidun B'Yichusam, Mibnei Asher, the ones that were known. The ones that were known, I take it back. Maybe when it says in the previous Pasuk, Pasim kol eila b'nei Asher roshei beis avos berurim giborim akayilim roshei hanesiim. Now it seems to say a new concept. So I could be making a mistake. The beginning of the pasuk is going back on the people listed above. Okay, so I made a mistake. Pasuk mem when it says that they were giborim and they were berurim and they were roshei hanesiim. Possibly that goes back on all of the names that we just listed, starting from Asher, Asher's five children, Chever Malkiel, Yiflot, Shomer, and so on and so forth. Those specific people, they were the heads of the princes, of all of the other members of their tribe. Now, we want to take an accounting of how many people actually went out to war, went out to battle. The sum is 26,000, and each one of those 26,000 soldiers can trace their lineage to Asher. They had a yichus brief, mitzudus, fesyach sam, hayidum yichusam, mibnei Asher, those that knew their lineage from the children of Asher, hayotzim batzava, mulchamohayu, misparim, chof of elef, anoshim, chashuvim, 26,000. Okay, now let me read. Going back to the beginning of the pasuk, so we're only referring to the leaders, were the ones that the people actually mentioned in the previous pasukim, correct? So they were the heads of the princes for the rest of the tribe. Let us see what it says here in Rashi. Rashi, pasuk lamed aleph, hu avi. Avi Virzois. This person, Malkiel, who was the son of Beriah, who was the son of Asher, was the Av of this city called Virzois. I already read you the Medrash. Rabbi Simon, Rabbi Levi, let us see how Rashi says, Sar Oisoir, he was the prince of this particular city. Uvi Bereshis Rabba, he quotes the same Medrash. I read it from the, my Sefer here, but over here Rashi quotes the exact same Medrash. Rabbi Levi, Rabbi Simoin, Rabbi Levi, Omer, Hashoy, Yubinois of Nos, of Nesuas, Lekoyhanim, Shenim Shechu, Beshem and Zayis. Rabbi Simoin, Omer, Shahoy, Yubinois of Nos, of Nesuas, the Molochim, the King, Shenim Shechu, Beshem and Hanishcha, Olefi, Shahoy, Yulohem, Shem and Harbe. So here Rashi adds in this detail, which does not appear in the Medrash. Why? Because the Osher was blessed. Why was it that the Kohanim and the king selected the daughters of Asher for wives, for themselves and their children? It's because they were very beautiful. Why were they very beautiful? Because they had an abundance of oil. And ancient times, oil was a skincare. Somehow, using oil was able, they were able to beautify themselves in an unusual way, which made them exceptionally beautiful, and they were taken by the Kohanim and the Kohanim and the kings. So Lefi Shayulham Shemen Harbe Hayu Moishchin Boy, they would smear their body with the soul. Lekach Hayu Nos, that's why they were beautiful. So it's very interesting. The Medrash is telling us the word Shemen Zayis is going on the ones who took them. Rashi seems to be saying the Shemen is really going on the daughters of Asher themselves, who had an abundance of oil in their land. That was the pasuk I was looking for. Shemen Alachmo, I was focusing on Yaakov's bracha, but you have here the bracha from Moshe Rabbeinu. V'toivel b'shemen raglo, Asher will have so much oil in his land, they'll be able to dip their feet in oil. The Omer Rabbi Chanina, Chamin v'shemen she'sachachti, have an example in the Gemara. Rabbi Chanina, Chamin, the hot water v'shemen she'sachasni imi hechaziruni l'narusi, my mother used to smear me with hot water and with oil, and that is what gave me strength, vigor. I was able to return to my youth. I was strong. So we see in the Gemara that smearing oil on your body, you are able to
regain your youth.
It keeps you strong and healthy. And that's why they were selected by the kings and the Kohanim. Yeah. Do you have a question? Okay. Okay, now that's one idea. One more Medrash. This is where we mentioned this before at least twice, but one more time, because the pasuk here says it again in a very powerful way, that when they went out to war, those that went out to war were able to trace their lineage to their fathers. So the Medrash says, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman Meshem Rabbi Yonus Anoimer, Minayim Sh'oisim Hayetzim L'Mohamad Tzrichim Shelo Yu B'nei Mamzerim, even if they were Tzadikim Gemurim, they still cannot be mamzerim. Pshakein ksiv, it says bibnei asher. This the magician, but Bamidbar quotes this pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, v'hisyach som bat sava b'milchama, which means they have to be v'lomahin zekukim lichus, which means they must be able to trace their lineage. A mamzer does not know who. I mean, that's the problem. It is possible for the mamzer to know who his father is, but typically when we say the word mamzer, it's a term which refers to a category of people that don't have good yichus. I mean, a mamzer, obviously, in Eisha Sish, it's lo yovah mamzer b'kal Hashem, or it also refers to people that we don't know who their fathers are. A woman is pregnant, and she is not revealing the identity of the one that she is pregnant from. Well, could be she does not know. And now this child is living a life. Maybe he's Jewish, he's not Jewish, he converts, misafik, but he cannot identify who his father is. That's also can be loosely included in the category of a mamzer. It's not the strict, literal meaning of a mamzer. Literally, a mamzer is a person that came through a union that is chayvei kresos. But it's also Yizvei Chazal to refer to people that lack lineage. They don't exactly know where they come from and where there's a problem, that there's a possibility that it's not the best yichus. Now the question is, the lama heim zgugim liyichus, when you're going to war, why do you have to know who your father and your grandfather and your great-grandfather is? As long as you're a good man, you've not done any averos, you did not talk between the tefillah shel yad and the tefillah shel rosh, so you're in good shape. So what's going on? So this is a very fascinating concept. And we had it before. Elo zuchus yichus sehen Oimedes lohem ba'milchama. Zuchus avos. There's such a thing. When you're in a moment of sakana, a matzav of sakana, you rely upon the zuchus avos. And if you know who are the avos, and you know their good deeds, that somehow enables you to focus on it, and grants you assistance. Okay, what that means exactly, I don't know, because every person is judged on their own merits, but to a certain degree, if you know who your father, your grandfather, and their ma'asim tovim, you're a different person. You recognize, I guess, a certain degree that you have a duty to live up to the standards and to the ideals, the she'ifos that your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, what they put into you. Person as an isayon. He wants to do an aveira. The Yetzer is trying to convince him to do an aveira. We know. So what is a very powerful technique to hold back? Think about your parents. Think about your grandparents, your great-grandparents. If they would see you now doing what you're about to do, what would they say? They would say, you know how much effort I put into you? What the nisyonos I've overcome in order that I can raise you, can send you to yeshiva, pay tuition, and do this and do that. Is this what I get back in return? That you do this terrible avera? You owe me more than that. It's a very powerful technique. This person doesn't know who's father, grandfather, great-grandfather. Doesn't mean anything. So no, I have a Yetzirah. I'll do an avera. No, that's the way I am. But if you know where you come from, and you know how much your parents and grandparents put into you to produce, it's a different story. You have a duty to live up to their desires and their what they gave you, and to a certain degree that is something that's very important when it comes to war, when a person finds himself in a matzav of sakana. Okay, so this concludes Shevet Osher. Okay, we have over here the Yichus of Osher and this fascinating concept that there was much intermarriage in a good way in Klal Yisrael after the Zman, when intermarriage between the Shvatim was permitted after a certain period of time, and Osher married into the Kohanim Gedolim and into the family of the kings. Okay, now we go to Perek Ches. Perek Ches is the Yichus of Binyamin. Binyamin is one of the most beloved of the tribes. Binyamin has many milos. He did not participate in Mechiras Yosef. Binyamin was born in Eretz Yisrael. And what else about Binyamin? He did Hashem Yeshua. There's another thing about
him. He never committed a Gemara says he's one of the people who never did a chay.
He never did Averik. He did not participate in the Mechira.
Because of that.
He was not part of Mechiras Yosef. He was born in Eretz Yisrael. He did Yosef. No. They were born Lavan, in the house of Lavan. Aram Naharaim. They went back to Aram Naharaim in Bavel, in Iraq. Somewhere they have relics there in Iraq, different places around Naharaim. They think they know where it is. But in any event, we now come to Binyamin. Yidid Hashem Chay, full of Kalim, the base Hamidush was built in his portion. There's a discussion if Yerushalayim was Neschalka L'Shvatim or not. According to one opinion, it was not. So it was not built in his portion. It was no man's land. But according to one opinion in the Gemara, no, Yerushalayim was divided. It was divided between Yehud and Binyamin. And the Mikdash, most of the Mikdash, the part of the Mizbeach, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Heichal, the Azara, most of it was built in the portion of Binyamin. Binyamin is the most beloved before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now we devote an entire parak to trace lineage. And the main reason why we're so focused on Binyamin is because we want to be Miyachi Sha'ul HaMelech. Since this Sefer is all about David, and what's unique point about David is Malchus, it's only proper for us also to focus on Shaul, the predecessor to David, where Malchus really originated from. Yeah.
When the Israelites came into Canaan and they conquered Eretz Yisrael, everyone had a Yerusha, had a peace.
Correct.
Everyone had it. So, but at the very beginning. Now we're talking about later on, where you get 48 areas for Levium.
Right.
And then you have this, the Mokum for the Kohanim.
Correct.
You have the Mokum for this, the Mokum for that. Who is losing out?
No one's losing out. The amount...
They got to take it from somebody.
The amount we discussed that. We learned Sheva Levi. The amount that Sheva Levi got was very, very small. They just got little cities.
Right.
The other Shvatim got large chunks of land with boundaries. in that land, there were little villages, a village here, a village there, a village there, and those villages were given to Levim and Kohanim. And even we learned that Shevet Shimon, Shimon got nothing also. Shevet Shimon did not get a piece of land. He had to go and conquer other lands on his own that were not necessarily originally part of the Gvulos of Eretz Yisrael. But in the meantime, Yehuda gave him a handout. He gave him some cities for Shevet Shimon. Achal came B'Yakov, Achal came, Hashem says, B'Yisrael. Okay, let's now go to Shevet Binyam. Let's just go through some of the Psukim, Pasuk Aleph. Now I want to warn you, as I warned you many times in the previous program, that there are many interpretations to who's who. Who's who in Klal Yisrael. So this is really just a sketch. It's just a very vague chart. This is the second hand that I gave. I have more copies if anyone doesn't have. Anyone doesn't have, there are more over here. Plenty over here. This is just a very vague I take names of the pasuk and I put it into this little tree, and when you'll now be able to identify what's wrong with it by at least getting a basic overview of who's who among these people. A lot of names. Uvin Yamin, it's not the entire parak. This only goes until towards the end of the parak, and then there's an entire different section which has to be learned really together with parak tests. But let's just run through the basics. Uvin Yamin, Hoyleres Bela Bichoiroi. Binyamin had a son called Bela. That was his firstborn. Ashbel Hasheni, the Achrach Hashlishi, Neicho Horevi'i, the Rafa Hachamishi. We have over here five sons. Five sons are listed as the sons of Binyamin. We know that Binyamin really had 10 sons. And that's a discussion, there's a contradiction between what it says in Chumash, in Parash Vayichi, when they went down in Vayigash, and what it says in Parashas, in Bamidbar, where Miyache is the tribe of Binyamin, there's a discrepancy. Rashi takes note of the discrepancy that we went down from 10 to 5. What happened to 5 of them? They disappeared. Where did they disappear? Either they became very few in number, and they were not significant enough for them to be listed, or they actually died. Now, one thing I have to remind you that when we learned Perek, we learned the beginning of Perek Zayin, and we learned Yad Yisachar. I'm just going back to remind you, we learned about Yisachar, all of a sudden we mentioned Binyamin. And we discussed then the two major approaches to understand who that Binyamin is. One approach is that Binyamin was part of Shevet Yisachar. That's not referring to Binyamin ben Yaakov. Yisachar had a grandchild, a great-grandchild, whose name was Binyamin, and that Binyamin produced a very large family that was, again, all part of the Yisachar tribe.
So Shaul came out of that?
No, there's no mention of Shaul back in Perek Zayin. No mention whatsoever. We went through that. No mention whatsoever. The other opinion was that no, that Binyam that was mentioned in the beginning of Zayin, Perek Zayin, is in fact Binyamin ben Yaakov. The obvious question is, why are we listing him there, and then we're going and we're focusing once again, giving an entire parak to Binyamin in this chapter? So the simplest answer was because Binyamin had different branches of the family. And one branch was what were warriors, were very strong giboirim, and they were aligned together with Yisachar. Yisachar, we mentioned at one point in time, were the most powerful warriors in Klal Yisrael, and they only admitted into their ranks, into their group, select few from the rest of Klal Yisrael, and there was a branch of the Binyamin family who reached the standards of Yisachar in warfare, and they were accepted. They were given their own division in this battalion of Yisachar, and that's why that branch of the family was grouped with Yisachar back in Perek Zayin. But now we're returning and discussing the other branch of the Binyamin family that whose standards did not make it to what Yisachar wanted for war. So they had their own lifestyle and their own battalion, but they were not joined with Yisachar. And that's what we're listing over here. And this appears to be a very major, very possibly a much more numerous number of people he listed here than listed in back in Perek Zayin. Ubinyamin Hoyledes Bela, so we mentioned earlier, we did already put a skull. Let's go now go past the gimel. Vayu Bonim Levola. Bola had sons. What are his sons' name? Ador, Vigeira, Va'avihud. He had So far, three. Next, Pasuk Dalid, Va'av Yeshua, V'namon, Va'acholach, another three. V'geira, Ushefufon, V'churam, another three. Now, those three are very important. Those last three, good morning, those last three are very important for a grand total of nine children that came from Bela. Okay, so we have the Eile, Pasuk Vav, you can take this, Pasuk Vav, the Eile. Now we're going to learn the Pasuk according to the simplest interpretation. If you look in the Mefarshim, you'll find 10 interpretations what these words mean. It's like seem very simple. The Eile, everything that we've listed, these nine children, the Eile is going back on the nine people that we've just listed. They're all B'nai Echud. Now who is Echud? There is no Echud. What are you talking about? Echud, according to some, is another name for Bela. Bela is the Bechor of Binyamin. So the Eile B'nei Echud, these are the children of Echud, Eile Haim, Roshei Avos L'Yoshvei Geva. These were the leaders of Yoshvei Geva. Geva is a place. It's a place somewhere in Eretz Yisrael where they all lived. These nine families of Binyamin settled in Geva. And they all were leaders of different districts in the city. But what happened? We don't know what happened. There was some problem with the Polishtim or with some other nation. Maybe there was some civil war.
Same with Gaas. That was there.
Oh, so that's a question. This is the same as Gaas, as Perek Zayin. Perek Zayin, it says that part of Binyamin, I forgot to tell you, I got distracted. Perek or Zion, we have there part of Binyamin. Now just to go a step back. In Chumash Shemot, in Perek Zion, there is a mention that part of Binyamin went to war. There was a section of the family that went to Gaas, and they were wiped out. They were decimated. A portion of the Binyamin family. And we mentioned, when we learned that, it's a question, when did that happen? That happened in Egypt, and Gaas refers to a colony that was in Egypt, or does it refer to a later period of time when they came into Eretz Yisrael, or was there a story, something similar to what happened with Bnei Ephraim, and they left early, they left Mitzrayim, they tried to go into Eretz Yisrael. A lot of these things are very mysterious, there are many interpretations, many opinions, we don't know what it means exactly, but part of the tribe was reduced, was killed in this horrible battle of Gaas, and that is how some of the Mefarshim explain the discrepancy between Chumash Bereishis and Chumash Bamidbar, where we originally have 10 children of Binyamin, and the 10 have then been reduced to 5. And here we have again 5, and the names are not exactly the same. And even in Shemos, in Bereishis and Bamidbar, the names are not exactly the same. So you have to understand that different people, different children, are called by different names, or some of them died, new ones were born. A mahalach, an approach. Who sued?
But also, he says the Bela or Becher and the Chumash. The reason
they're the same, yeah.
The difference. Mentioned yeah. Becher and Geira. Interesting enough, because Geira comes up as another child of a child. Was Geira and Becher never had children of their own? And since he's only listing Yichus, there was no Yichus for them.
So
one of the brothers named his son Geira
after the one who died.
The one who died.
Okay.
Had no children.
It's very common. We don't know. People are being named. They have the same name, but is that really the same person? It's a person that's being named after someone else. Okay, but there's a lot going on. You have to. I just mentioned to you four places where Binyamin's children are mentioned. In Parashas Vayigash, in Chumash Bamidbar, in Perek Zayin here, and now again in this Perek, in Perek Ches. And the names are not the same. And it's a big mystery how to reconcile these four sections. Are they the same people with different names? Are they different people? Did some people die and new ones were born? Are we referring to grandchildren, great-grandchildren who were named after their grandparents and great-grandparents? There are so many different opinions. Every one of them, Rishonim and Achronim, will tell you another story, and you get mixed up it's very easy to get confused and mixed up. But just throughout the basic things that we have here a new story. The story over here seems to be a different story than what appears in Perek Zayin, where part of Sheva Binyamin got into trouble with the Bnei Gaas. Here there's a different story. All of these nine people on a very simple level settled in a land called Geva. And then what happened? Vayaglum El Monochas. They were exiled. They all had to pick up their bags, pick up their property, their possessions, and leave Geva and go to a new city called Monochas. Where is Monochas? There are different opinions. Some say that this is a region in Yehuda. Some say it's a region in another Sheva. I don't remember the different opinions where it is. Or some say, no, it's part of Shevet Binyamin's Porsche, just a different location. When did this happen? I don't know. Earlier or later in history, there are different opinions. But they all picked up themselves and left. And now it tells us that V'naman V'achia V'gero Hu Heglam. Who was the ones who led the exile? Who convinced all of the other brothers that it's time to leave. It was headed by three people. Naaman, Achia. You see here on this chart, we have Naaman. We have from the nine children, number 3, 6 was Naaman. Number 7, now Achia, who's Achia? Achia doesn't exist in the list. In Achanami, Achia is the same as Achuach. Okay, we have Achuach. So I have in parentheses, next to Achuach, I have Achia. And Vigera was another one. Hu Heglam, they were the ones that convinced the other brothers it's time to leave, to go to greener pastures, to go to the place called Monochas. And then it goes on to say that V'hoylid, this person gave birth. Who is V'hoylid referring to? It can be anyone. It can be anyone mentioned. According to some of the Farshim, it refers to the last one mentioned, Gera. He gave birth to Es Uzav Yes Achichud. Okay, so that's what we have here so far. Just to recap, Binyamin has 5 sons. His oldest son is Bela. Bela simply, on a very simple level, has another name called Ichud. Ichud had 9 children. They were living in Geva. At a certain point in time, Naaman, Achuach, and Gera told the other brothers, it's time to leave because we can't get along with our neighbors, either our Jewish neighbors, our non-Jewish neighbors, or something happened. They packed up and they left, and they moved to Monochas. And in Monochas, Gera had a son called Uzzah and Achichud. That's the very basic picture of what's happening here. By the way, one other thing I left out is that Binyamin, he named all of his children after Yosef. That we all know, that
Rashi
brings down all the names, they all relate to the fact that Yosef, that Binyamin never saw his brother Yosef from the same mother. They were all both B'nai Rachel, and Yosef did not see his wedding, did not see all of his successes in life. And after each event that happened to Binyamin, he reflected that his only brother is not here to share in his joy, and he named the child after that moment. Okay, let's go further. Let's go to Pasuk Ches. Pasuk Ches, we come to V'Shacharayim. Who in the world is Shacharayim? Big mystery. That's why I put over here a question mark next to his name. Binyamin, I put down a 6th son. Shacharayim, it's interesting. Shacharayim is still the 2. Shacharayim, a 6th son. So was he a son, another son of Binyamin? Perhaps. Some learn that Shacharayim is another name for one of the first 5 sons mentioned. Just like we called Bela Ichud, it could be that Ashbel was known as Shacharayim, or maybe it was Achrach, or maybe Nocha, or Rafa. Maybe one of those other children were known by the name of Shacharayim, or it could be Shacharayim was a grandchild, a great-grandchild. We don't know who he is. He is somehow related, somehow, some shape, some form to Binyamin. And he has, obviously, as we see here on this chart, in this handout, a very large family. A very large tree came from him. So Shacharayim Choylid B'Stei Moav. He gave birth in the field of Moav. Now here's something really interesting, how to translate these next couple of words. From the following 3 wives. Min. He fathered children, Min, from a woman whose name was Shilcho Osam. That's a name. Okay, 2 words for 1 name. Send them out. Can you imagine having a wife? Her name is send them out. That's what you call your wife. That's what her name was. Her name was Shilcho Osam. She was the mother of some of the children, which we're going to mention, Also, there was a second wife called Hushim, and a third wife, yes, Ba'ara, a third wife, Noshaf. So the pasuk just says that Shacharayim had a whole long list of children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren from the following three wives. And their names were Shilcho Osam, number two, Hushim, number three, Ba'ara, and the word Min. The word min that's used right before shulcho osam is to be repeated. You have to, min shulcho osam, umin chushim, umin bara. That's how the Mefarshim learned the min. Sometimes a very complex form of writing. Again, this is not Ezra writing. Ezra appears to be taking this from ancient documents that he had available to him, and the style of writing obviously changed. The way people wrote, it was not the way things are written in the Torah. Just like today, if you take out old English, it's very hard to make to break your teeth on what in the world. And we go listen and watch Shakespeare, all these, read these things. It's not exactly fun unless you really have developed a liking to it. You're trained to appreciate the language, but it's English. It's all, every single word you could probably translate on its own. But when you put all the words together, what in the world is this talking about? That's really how Hebrew developed among people. Take out a Hebrew newspaper. It's very hard. If you're not familiar with modern Hebrew, it's very hard to read a Hebrew newspaper. You have to know all of the new words that they invented due to technology and the way they're used in modern Hebrew. It's not so simple. Same exact thing. And Ezra is not writing on his own. Ezra's taking documents that were found, that were available to him, and had lists. He's preserving the integrity of what he found, and they wrote in a very different style, and that's how they refer to these three wives with the word min, and it says that the word min is missing from the middle and the end, and instead of the word min at the end, it says vs. And those people living in those times, same way, if you're living in the time of Shakespeare, you would understand it would be simple to read, like reading a newspaper, it would be simple to understand what this pasuk means, but that's how it is interpreted for us now. Now, who are these children? Let's just run the names very quickly. Pasuk Tes, Vayoled min Chodesh Ishta. Another very bizarre pasuk. Who is Chodesh? We just said now that he had three wives. And now all of a sudden there's another wife. Say the Chanami, some of the Mefarshim, she was another wife. She was wife number four. She was a fourth wife, and she was added at a later point in time. Other commentators tell us Chodesh is the same as Shilcho Osam. And that is how I presented it for the sake of simplicity on this handout. She is, they are different names. I guess it was too complicated.
That would be according to the Gross or whatever, because the reason she got that name, because he divorced her in every marriage.
So she divorced her. And then,
she got the nickname.
Okay, Shilcho Osam, so it was later divorced later on.
Shikta.
So, yeah, right. According to the sake of simplicity, for the sake of simplicity on our handout, I've put in parentheses that it's the same person. Vayoled min chodesh ishtoif, min chodesh his wife. As here we go, a long list of people. Yoivav, yes Tzivyav, yes Meshav, yes Malkom, yes Yehutz, yes Sochya, yes Mirma. Eile vonov Rosheavos. These are the children of Shacharayim, this very distinguished member of the Shevet Binyamin, who again we really don't know who he is, where he comes from. These were all leaders of the family. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Now we have this. What? Yes, I do. Yeah, we have about old Rus. You know this. Yes. Shacharayim is Boaz and Rus and Chodosh and Nuhalacha. Yeah, we'll come to that. I want to just first go through the names. Okay, let's just go through the names and we'll come back to those popular Midrashim. Now we come to Pasik Yud Aleph. Who did he have from the second wife? Umechushim Holodes Avituv. Yes, El Paul. El Paul is a very important person, obviously. You look on this handout, you'll see what came from him. She had two children. Two children, Avituv, the father of, was a very beautiful name. Think about that. Avituv, the father of good. And the second name, El Paul. To work, go to work. Go to work, Pula.
Or like, Mopal Kel.
What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Kel is Hashem. Okay, I didn't think of that. Kel is Hashem's name, Paul. Mo Poal Kel, the work of God. Interesting. Uvnei El Paal, who are his children? So we have here, and if you look carefully on this tree that I've presented, there are two branches of the family. We're going, again, this is according to one interpretation. There are many approaches, and the tree will take a very different direction. But simply, we're going to see that he had two sets of children at two different points in his life. Here we have the first set of children, which is on the right, and they are Uvnei El Pal, Eiver, Umisham, Vo, Shomed. Okay, Shmat, that's not strange. I don't think today you give a name, Shomed.
We've had worse ones than this,
okay.
Today. I mean,
Shomed. Hubone, Shomed is the one, I didn't write this down on the chart, what the cities they built. Hubone es Ono vies Lod Uvenosecha. He was the one who built Ono, Lod, and its suburbs. Uvenosecha. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Uvria. What about Viria? Now we're going to focus on the children of Viria. Now Viria, as you see on this handout, is the fourth child of El Poal. Uvria, not yet. Uvria Vashema. Uvria Vashema Hema, besides the fact that the last son, Shema, was the leader, the one who built Ono and Lod, but Uvriya Vashema Hemar Roshe Ha'avos Liyoshve Ayalon. They were the leaders of this, the inhabitants of the city called Ayalon. Hemar Hivrichu Es Yoshve Gas. They were the ones, Hivrichu, which drove out the inhabitants of Gas. So that's very interesting because they must have taken revenge for their cousins back in Perek Zion. If you want to learn in Perek Zayin at Binyamin is Binyamin Yaakov, and we're referring here to a very specific branch of the family, and they were killed by the Yoshvei Gas, they were decimated. So here their cousins, their long lost cousins in Perek Ches, are coming to take revenge and to drive out the inhabitants of Gas. If you want to learn that in Perek Zayin it's Binyamin, it's not Binyamin Yaakov, but rather it's a part of the Yisachar family, okay? So we have here Binyamin is coming to the rescue at some point in time to wipe out the people who live in Gas. Now we come to Pasuk Yudalit. The Achyoi and his brother is now. Here we go. Now we're entering into a new style of writing, which I don't think we've had until now in the first 7.5 parakim. And what we're doing now is we're going to list a whole bunch of names, and then we're going to tell you who their father is. We've always had the style of writing has always been until now. We list a father, then a son, then we go down. We go down generation. Once we went up, but when we did go up, it was very clear that we were going up. Here we're going to give a long list of names, and then at the end of the couple of psukim, we're going to say, these are all children of a certain person. So you see now, starting with Achyo, these are the children of Beria. The Achyoi and Shoshak, Viremos, Uzivadya, Va'arod, Vo'oder, Umichael, the Yishpa, the Yocha, all of these people are all Bnei Viria. They're all children of Ria, as you see here on this handout. Next, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Uzevadya, Umishulam, Vichizki, Vochover, Vishmirai, Vizlio, Vyoivav, those are all Bnei El Paul. What are you talking about? But El Paul, we already mentioned his children before on the right side. Aver, Misham, Shomed, Brian, Shema. So the answer is, there are many answers. We're dealing with a different El Paul. And we don't even really know who he is. He's another name for someone mentioned before. But some of the Mepharshim say very simply, these are more children of El Paul. El Paul later in life had more children from another wife or a different set of circumstances. And these are his other set of children. And that's how I presented it for the sake of simplicity on this tree. Pasuk Yutes. Now we're going to focus on the children of Shema. We're going back to Shema, who was the son, the last son of El Paul from the first set. And now we're going to have a long list of his children. The Yakim, the Zichri, the Zavdi, the Eli Eini, the Tzilsai, the Eliel, the Adoya, Uveroya, Uvishimros. All of these are Bnei Shimi. Now Shimi is not the same as Shema. there is an extra yud, but the Farshim say they are the same person. The yud is not ma'akev in this instance. His name was changed, whatever it was, different way of pronouncing his name, but they're the same person. Now you come to Pasuk Chav Beis. Pasuk Chav Beis, we're going to focus on Yishbon. Yishbon is the son of Sheshak. As you see on this handout, you see the long list of the Yishbon, Sheshak, the Yishbon, Vo'ever, Ve'eliel, Ve'avdon, Ve'zichui, Ve'chanon, Ve'chanan, Ve'chananya, Ve'elam, Va'ansosia, Ve'yifdia, Ufenuel, they are all B'nei, Shashok. Okay. What? Shimi is Shema. Shimi is the same as Shema. You see on the look at El Poal. He has five sons. The last one is Shema. Shin, that is Shimi. They're the same. In one pasuk he's called Shema, in another pasuk he's called Shimi. That's what the Mefarshim say. One of the Mefarshim on the page says that. I don't remember who. They're the same. Now we come to pasuk Chavav. One more list. Now this is a little bit confusing. We're going to have a list of names. 1, 2, 3, 6 more names. And they're going to be called the children of Yerocham. Who is Yerocham? Yerocham was not mentioned anywhere before. So it's a big mystery. So either we can just leave this note hanging on its own in the middle of nowhere like we've done in the past, or if we want to try to connect, I think it's the Gra. The Gra says that Yeramos, the third son of Bria, is the same as Yerocham. How in the world do you know that? Have to have Ruach HaKodesh to know that. They're the same person. It'll be the third son. And we're going to be able to connect this tree, this branch of the tree, to this family. Ve'sham Shirai, Ushacharya, Va'asalya.
How can anyone have that name?
Asalia.
Yeah.
She wasn't, that came much later on. She was a witch later. Asalia was much later. This is much earlier.
Okay.
Much earlier. Look, people today have the name Nimrod.
Oh,
there are worse names.
I know.
Vasalia, Viya Reshia, Vielia, Vizikhri Binay Yerocham. And I'm connecting that to Yeramos. Yeramos is what the Gros says, the same as Yerocham. Now, pasuk, one more pasuk. Eile rosheavos lisolidosam. These are all leaders. Everyone we've mentioned here were leaders for their future generations. Roshim, they were heads. Eile, all of these people, yashvu, look at this beautiful pasuk, Birushalayim. All of these people, all of these children we have over here, they lived in Yerushalayim. They should name a street after every one of them. Don't you think? Don't you think? It's not fair. I don't know how they're going to deal with Asalia,
yeah.
But they should definitely, these are all the people that once upon a time lived in the city of Yerushalayim. You have to send in an email to the mayor of Yerushalayim that all new streets.
Obviously, it calls for a new housing development.
Absolutely. These are the original founders of Yerushalayim. Binyamin went to the Chelek Yerushalayim, was where Binyamin lived. Okay, now, there are some Midrashim, but we're pretty late on time, so maybe we'll leave the Rashis and the Midrashim for tomorrow.